Hey everyone, welcome to the Run From Zero podcast. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Todd, and I'm so excited that you've joined us. Or you want to know what this podcast is about, we take the most recent sermon and we dive deeper into it. And really our main focus is, but there's a lot of information out there. I don't think we have an information problem. We have an application problem. So we take this information, the word that we got from the Lord, and go, how do we apply it? How do we make sure that we're taking this sermon that we heard, it's something that we actually apply and go after. And so that's the goal of this. And so the one thing I'd ask you to do is that we just started a new series all about the life of Joseph. And so I would encourage you to check out the first sermon of this, because that's what we'll be covering today. And it is about betrayal, which is a huge conversation that all of us need to walk, because all of us face it. So I'm excited for you to be here. Let's dive in. Good morning, fellas. We ready to go?
Hey, boys, let's get fired up. Let's go.
Let's go. Oh,
here
come
we
on.
Go.
Hey, Todd, yeah. I just want to say nice choice.
I know. We wore the same shirt.
Like, both have white shoes on. Both yes. Wearing pants.
Ooh, I got white shoes on.
Score. I'm so great together.
It's like we planned it. Nice.
Dude. Can I get be part of the group chat?
Cal, you're always invited.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to do the work, man.
I don't know if I even have that shirt.
You probably don't. I'm just kidding.
You look good. That's
good. All right. We are diving into sermon. Chris, great job.
Hey, thanks.
So talking about betrayal, life of Joseph, a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man, so much to unpack. And it was just, it's a lot of fun. Joseph is my favorite story in the Bible. It's just from a long time ago, just diving in. And yeah, I love every time I get to just dive into the story and just be reminded of, man, how God works in the middle of stuff. Even in the middle of crazy things that you just, there's no way God's going to pull this out. And you're like, okay. Yeah, and it's phenomenal. I love the challenge of trust. I love so much. Yeah, like we talked about everything.
Yeah. It's one of those stories you can definitely go back to and go, even if I'm not like, okay, I don't know if I've been betrayed on that level or how do I grow in those moments? There might be some that you're like, okay, how did Joseph make it through that? Because I might have to learn how to do some levels of that. Or and story that you can always go back to and go, holy cow. Like there's a lot to unpack here. And great thing about the Bible sometimes is you got all these layers to it. Yeah. But hey, I want to start here. What is your favorite betrayal story? I'll give you guys some time. I'll start with mine. So I have was the Count of the Monte Cristo, which is a fantastic betrayal story. Always don't want to focus on that part. But I think more when we think of a betrayal story, we like, the justice part coming back at the end. I think that's what makes it very like,
absolutely.
Cool. See, like nothing happens at that. You're like, well, that's just sad.
Yeah. So,
it's like that guy just got screwed over.
Wait a minute.
That
is this going to end there?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. Well, I guess evil wins. That's cool.
I didn't buy this movie ticket to land here.
I want to feel good.
I feel worse now.
The popcorn was.
But all right.
Okay, on the movie side, I guess not a movie, it's a TV show. I do love the Nate story in Ted Lasso. And there's a little bit of that of like, he goes to the other team. It's like, no, it's like he's mad at Ted. But then he comes, okay, like it ends on the good note.
There you go.
And so
I wanted to say Lance Armstrong.
I mean, you already have your one about the cat.
I do have my one about the cat. That is my favorite betrayal story. Like not once,
favorite
but twice.
Like favorite house. So like you enjoy it or you just more,
I just can't believe
it.
My wife totally shanghaied me. I like this woman that I love and adore and is fantastic, went behind my back, thought we were on the same team, thought we were going in the same direction. And I look at her and then she can't look at me with a straight face knowing that she's done this to me. And I'm like, I know in my repertoire now, like, hey, you remember what you did to me? Yeah. I'm going to bring that up all the time.
She's just, you know, pushing you and making you healthier and better. By putting you in a situation that makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, but
it's great.
I'm allergic to cats. That's the kicker. Like this, I love that you say that, but it's not true because
you're learning to.
That's right. She wants me to walk that line of tension of unhealthy Chris and Chris that makes everybody else happy.
Yes.
So, but no, it's crazy. I was thinking like we can get petty about like some betrayals, right? Yeah. Like some, and some are like really small betrayals that we blow out of proportion. Like for me, one of those is, it even happened this morning.
Oh boy, it happened this morning. Everyone, listen up. This gets him. Listen, hot we're bothered right here.
I love tallies. I love.
I'm you're gonna throw.
I'm,
names.
Wow, I'm we're going names. For okay. I love tallies, but this tallies morning is they this,
listen. We love you.
They quit carrying raspberries in my pancake anymore. And I love raspberries in my pancake, and it's fantastic. And they're like, yeah, we don't do that anymore. I'm like, Why would you take joy away from people? I just don't understand.
Why and would so, you steal that from
that's
me?
Right. That's so the now, biggest form of betrayal for you.
I said small things to get blown up.
No, like, we get it.
Like Walmart not carrying my favorite barbecue sauce. Like, what's up with that? Come on, let's get fired up. Anyway, I can get fired up about food. Everybody knows that. But anyway.
Well, I think thinking of like petty betrayals.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I need to offer an apology to Cal.
Yes.
Because I have said some things on this podcast.
Betrayal.
About your coffee.
You put that coffee on the other side of the table.
Cut you deep.
Cut you deep.
Yes.
And I just need to say that was not my intention. I'm sorry.
I haven't slept since.
I can tell.
Listen, I'm just glad I'm here for this. This is like real progress for Todd.
I felt. Since it was a sermon about betrayal,
rebuild,
and you are here,
rebuild.
The moment is now.
Oh man!
And so I needed you to know. I'm sorry for whatever I may have caused with my words about your coffee.
Yeah,
I can sleep now.
Okay, good. Whew.
But I've also had too much coffee to sleep. So
life is just so much better at this point.
Yes.
No more angry, bitter Cal.
No, I've been angry.
I got a lot of people come up to me and just talk about like, wow, you're really ripping Cal's coffee. And I was like, maybe I went too far.
I put my heart and soul, my identity. So no, I'm kidding.
I know we were so excited to try it and I just ruined it for you.
Out that time.
Yeah, I know. I had the wheel. We were tasting.
If you don't know what you're talking about, please catch up on other episodes of this podcast.
But you have to figure out which episode it is.
Just so look for us three. You
know,
and you'll
you know we talk about binge watching. Just binge listen. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
All right, let's get back on.
Yeah.
Chris, we gotta talk about this. What in this? A lot of stuff was in there, a lot of great stuff, and we'll hit some of that. But what was stuff that couldn't make it?
Man, just due to time. A lot of it, some of it. At the beginning was like that family drama aspect. I mean, you can spend a lot of time on family drama and everybody has family drama. Like I even what like rack my brain, like what are those moments in our family that I just think about like, man, the, cause you and I mean, Todd, you and I have a lot of conversation. I know Kel does too, but like, because you and I have done a lot of premarital counseling. We try to unpack a lot when it comes to, listen, the way mom and dad raised you is who you're becoming. The things you saw mom and dad, the way you conflict or stress, all those things played out. And sometimes those manifested itself in really tense moments in your family. And you're like, what is happening in my family? Or, I mean, I've had enough friends. All of us have had friends where you're like, I'm sorry that happened to your family, that, that drama in your family, and it affected you and it affected the way that you viewed life and looked at things, you know, moving forward. And we all have to wrestle with that. We all have to work through that things. And those are sometimes really painful seasons and moments of life, you know, and it's tough. And some of us are still dealing with it because we never get past it. And I mean, the beauty of this story of Joseph is that, I mean, we're going to see it coming up, right? Like that God does something that only God can do in the midst of some serious family drama that took place. Right. And that is the reality for us in the middle of family drama. God's got to be at the, there's got to be things that take place, reconciliation. And I know we're going to unpack a lot of that today, but family drama was a big thing. Cause I know we could spend a lot of time on that because there's just a lot of hurt that's taking place in people's lives. So,
it's super interesting because I feel like Joseph, his story is huge. There's so many different moments, but especially in that beginning, I think sometimes when we read scripture for the first time, we like attach with like the main character and it's like, oh yeah, I'm Joseph. How am I Joseph? But I think especially this go around, there's a little bit of like, am I Joseph? Am I the dad? Am I one of the brothers? I just kind of had some of the thought of like, man, dad, you're pitting in the suns against each other a little bit there by like choosing a favorite.
Well, but that was the kicker, right? Like he loved Rachel more than any other of his wives. And then when that finally came to fruition, and this was like the culmination of bitterness of things that he felt maybe had been withheld from him or something that God had done or he had done between him and God that, that kept that from happening. And suddenly when that happens, like how could you not? And I get, I don't want to not be excited for him. Mm-hmm. I get that.
But I mean, you bring it up like family sin there, Jacob and Esau story. So Jacob's brother, like, what does he do? He betrays Esau to get the birthright. Yeah. And so then you see, like, it just is this ongoing thing that I think sometimes we could go like, is God approving of this? No. What he's trying to coach humanity in, and this is what I kind of tell people, it's like, as you read the Bible, you're going to read things that you go, wait, why is God allowing this? And some of it is God's going, he's coaching humanity through this. You see over time, they stop doing this to where it's like the birthright was everything. And then you, and you still even see Joseph doing like, hey, I want this certain for my sons. You'll see. And it's like, no, 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 you got to give it to this one. Cause, and
he's Jacob's the
like,
oldest.
Like, no, I'm going to do this this way. And, it's one of those things. I think God was coaching them and teaching them like, hey, the way you guys are doing this in family is not healthy. And it's, you see it play out to where there's more. And so I think that's one thing we've got to look at. I think I love that you're bringing up the family. Is there things within your family that you may have to go, God help us with this? Because we have a tendency to go down this route.
No, I would agree.
And so, and sometimes you may have the opposite. Like you just have these, my family's awesome. It's the best thing that ever happened. Older and you start to realize, oh, we do have some problems.
Well, and I think
so sometimes that feels weird.
Like social media perpetuates that too, right? Like, hey, look at our family. It's going, and then you, you get to spend time with somebody. You're like, I don't know if what there matches what I'm seeing here. And obviously you can have a conversation about that all day long. And that's just crazy, man. Yeah. I tell you, like just this idea of just the way in which Jacob went about this stuff and just the hurt that was caused there, right? Like how unbelievable. But the thing that always fascinates me, and you kind of brought it up a little bit, was when somebody reads scripture, something messed up like this, and then they ultimately attach it to God right away. And well, if God's like this, then I don't want
or any, God allows this.
God allows like, this. And you're like, hold on, you know, and that's the important aspect of reading scripture as a whole and really walking through scripture going, okay, what does God say about this? Rather than saying, well, if God's going to do with that, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And that becomes, I think, ultimately, we will experience things that we go, okay, why did I have to deal with this?
Absolutely.
Why? I mean, Joseph asked that question. You know he did. That's where you look at his life and go, okay, he did handle this in a healthy manner. Yeah. Doesn't mean he had his bad days with it.
No, I would agree.
Where he was like, why did I get sold into slavery? Why do my brothers hate me that much? And then other parts you'll see later, and why did I, you know, get told I did something, it was Potiphar's wife, and then get arrested for something I never did.
He went out of his way to avoid it. Like he was uber those moments of like, I don't want anything to do with that woman, you know?
Because I think for a lot of us, we'd wrestle with, would my relationship with God get deeper in that time? Or would I run from him because I'm just angry and frustrated that he allowed this to happen in my life? And that is a tough position to navigate.
I would agree.
Because I think we have a lot of the counseling is, why did God allow that person to hurt me? Or why did God allow this to happen? And it's, you're in the moment. You're not going to see yet what it's going to be in 10 to 15, 20 years. Cause that's what, I mean, Joseph's story, we go boom, boom, boom. I was like, there's a lot of years in there before he ever got to that spot. Cause I mean, he's probably a teenager.
17.
When he got sold into slavery. And they kind of estimate that it's not until 30 something, early 30s that he's in this position. That's 13 years.
We have a hard enough time waiting 3 days, you know,
let alone 13 years.
And I think that really is such a hard reality of we don't wait well and we don't allow God to, you know, it's, it's kind of, man, like you think about all like recipes or you think about things that take time and things that Like, it's going to take moments, you know, like when we went to the Redwoods this year, a couple of years ago for family vacation, right? Like, to think that that started like this and now is this, and you're like, come on, grow faster. You're like, it just doesn't like, and in those moments, we want time to go to get, you know, help me get to the good part. Right. Like, and God's like, something's got to form in me. Something had to form in Joseph. Something had to prepare him. All those circumstances and moments prepared him for the moment that it was time for God to use him in such a powerful way.
Yeah. Well, like, again, formation takes time. And I think we see, like, the place that he gets authority in Egypt, like, there had to be a lot of maturing from where we meet him with kind of like, even the point of like the dream. And we chatted about this a little bit earlier. It's like, he received this dream, but it's like, maybe maturity wasn't there when he, it's like God gave you that dream. I don't think he maybe told you to share, like, hey brothers, I'm gonna be over you and you're gonna bow to me, like, but it's
emotional awareness, social IQ, just not, but 17.
He's 17, and there's some immaturity there, and
he said some dumb things at 17.
100
There's said stupid stuff last
there's
week.
There's a lot. Again, formation Touché. Takes time. But something I've been sitting in a lot recently, and it kind of sounds corny, but it's like our situation can define us or refine us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And again, I know that sounds kind of super corny. And all these situations, I believe, like, God was forming Joseph to be the leader that he needed to be in that moment. And again, we didn't see him as that leader when we were introduced to him, but we see this progress, but it takes time. And even as a young man, it's like, now.
Oh man. I think about the things I was excited about at 17. I didn't shut up. I wanted, and I wanted everybody to know. I wanted people, I was excited.
Gonna happen in my
that's
life.
Right.
I'm gonna do this. Yeah. Man. This is the dream I had.
It was really difficult driving a Chevette to be excited about a lot. So, but it's true. Like, and I, not long ago, and we were just talking about just where we are and how God works and moves. And he's like, I want God to just do it and make me who I need to be. And I'm like, and I remember it's always weird when you talk about people that, you know, things have happened, like the skit guys, fortunate, like some of the skit guy stuff, but they had a skit back in the day about the sculptor, right? Like how, when we give God the hammer and the chisel and we say, okay, God, begin to form and shape me into where you want. And then how God comes and just, okay, Chris, there's a rough edge here. There's something here that I've got. And will you allow, it's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. It's going to hurt when God gets that in there. But it's all by a loving creator that wants us to form us and shape us into what we're going to be, and how powerful it is to hand that over to him and say, God, so my life, I'm willing. But we got, sometimes the willingness finds us in places we never intended to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for those who have not made this connection, I think it's very important. Joseph's story is being connected to Jesus' story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Jesus walked out. We're like, oh man, I don't know if I can do it. Well, beautiful part is you got.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, well, I don't, Jesus was God. Well, Joseph wasn't God.
Nope.
Yep.
And he had to walk out something that had very similar components to what Jesus did. If you think about it, Joseph is betrayed by his 12 brothers.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, you could argue, the disciples kind of betrayed him in the sense of leaving him, deserting him at a time where he needed them.
Yep.
Also accused of something he never did. Joseph has that moment.
Yeah.
Jesus goes to the cross being accused of something he never did.
Yeah.
But then in the end, Joseph's struggle led to people, a little spoiler alert, here you go. You might hear this later on the sermon, but important to understand. But people, because he became a leader and navigated a famine during that area that was very severe. Jesus goes to a whole nother level. His struggle led to all of us being able to experience freedom. Yeah. And so if that's kind of the mentality of, if we call ourselves Christians and to be followers of Christ, I don't want you to think like, hey, you better be, it's going to fall apart. It's not that. But you better have that heart that's ready to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and do it in a way that goes, okay, Jesus, teach me how you did it. May I learn from Joseph's examples, and that he's coaching you and giving you that chisel moment that he's going, hey, this part's getting in the way. Yep. I know but you can make it through this. Yeah. And know that in the end, there will be some good that comes from this.
Yeah.
Just make it through.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So,
and it really does. It revolves around, like, you know, I talked about in the message, like, God has a plan, God first. Yeah. Okay. Am I willing to say, God, whatever you want, I want your will to be done in my life. And yeah, it's not always easy because we don't know where that's going. Right. Yeah. Like we can't manipulate it. We can't orchestrate it. It's God's plan to do that. So
I think you worded it, God's plans over human intentions.
Yeah. Maybe God's plans. Yeah, over, yeah.
I think here's a good question. Does God's plan matter more to you than your well-being? Because that's ultimately what it will come down to.
Yeah.
And I understand well-being. It's hard when you're in pain or when you're this, it starts to be like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Done. I'm spent. I don't want to face tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I have to do this. And so that's the part. And you got to recognize human intentions. This is just a little bit deeper theology. Can be sinful. There are people that will hurt you, even yourself. Yeah. You can cause pain yourself. Yeah. But thankful that there is a God who can all of that. Because if not, we'd be defined by human intentions. Yeah. And that's not good.
Yeah. Well, that just puts such a limiting factor on God that God can't overcome those human intentions. Like, oh man, Jim screwed up again. I guess I can't do anything about that, you know, but that's not true. Like, but operate that way. Like, right. They did that. So man, they thwarted God's plan. No, they didn't.
Well, it goes against the principle we've always been taught. Absolutely. And even biblically, it's like you reap what you sow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, then why am I not? I'm sowing this, but not reaping this. Yeah. Or I never sowed this, and why am I reaping this?
Yeah.
And so you're going, just because we understand a principle that God has put doesn't mean God doesn't go above that principle because he created it.
Yeah.
And he could go against it. He could change it. He could do whatever he wants with that. Yeah. And that's the part we like to live in. Like, no, these are the rules. This is how life should work.
Yeah.
Hence why we like to create laws and religion.
Yeah.
Like,
like,
let's make it work. Let's do relationship, because not all that's going to play out the way you think it's going to play
out. Well, there's free will involved too. And it's, I'm trying to remember, the other day I heard, it was, man, if we want all hardship and all wickedness and all pain to go to exist, because like, yeah, I feel it from where, how I receive it, but it's like there have been times when I've hurt someone else, and if I want all of it to go away, it's like that means like
it's me.
It's me. But there's a little bit of like, man, the grace of God to utilize these things. Yeah. And so I was in one of the lectures for one of the classes I'm taking right now, and I was like, ooh, that hits.
It's one of those thoughts you don't like thinking about.
Yeah.
Then it makes it very like vulnerable and recognizing I'm pretty small as a human being.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But yet God cares enough to be defined by that. Yeah. Exactly. So that's where I'd be like, don't put too much weight in your well-being. Mm-hmm. Does it matter? Mm-hmm. Does God care? Yes. He's a father. Yes. He cares about his children, wants to see them succeed, but he also is going to go, but sometimes there's bigger things at play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, small example I always think about is like, learning to ride your bike has painful. If we were all going after well-being for our kids, there'd be a lot of things we never let our kids do.
A lot of bubble wrap.
Yes.
A lot of
we never let them drive a car. Never let them. Because there's painful
there's
parts
danger.
Of it.
Yeah, there's danger. Yeah. And that's all
part
those
of
things.
Just the world we live in. Because I understand there's part of us that wants the ideal. And I think that comes from God. God goes, yes, I want to make it perfect. Yeah. But sin, because of free will, has ruined that. So now we live in a broken world that we go, someday there will be eternity.
Yeah. Yep.
That we don't have to. There's a reason why you have that thought of it should be this way.
Well, but that's the danger of that conversation, right? Like, because you and I have heard it enough over the course of the years of done everything right. I've done all of these things. Why didn't it play out that way? Right. And you're like, I'm sorry. It just, it doesn't always play out that way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean God's not good.
It doesn't. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't mean God's not faithful. Cause you also got to hold the mindset of going, wait, he's these things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I go back. It's like, man, you can study for your test all you want. It doesn't mean you pass it.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep. And so, amen.
But that's where you go. But I go,
this is very real to Cal right now.
You look at it as like, oh, I'm just a failure. I was like, no, that's just life.
Yep. Yeah.
There's just things that may not go your way. Yep. But if you're you gotta own this component of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can be selfish in thinking, I deserve this because mm-hmm. I've worked this hard at this.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
And that's us starting yep. to play God. Yep. That's yep. us being selfish in this. And yep. maybe we're like, well, God, I feel like I've done yeah. enough to
yeah.
earn
yeah.
what you should give yep. me.
We make it transactional.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back to wait. Grace is what makes us relational.
Yeah. yeah.
And so what we deserve is death.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah. yeah. What we deserve is punishment. Yeah. We have to go back to like, the fact that I get these good things,
yeah.
it's good. Mm-hmm. And I may have to deal with some bad things. I may have to deal yeah. with some rough parts mm-hmm. of it. And somehow, and you gotta look, and this is where we dive into practical. Joseph was a.
Yeah.
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 And it's because Joseph's story, if it was like, well, he just got crazy depressed, crazy full of anxiety. That's right. We never hear from him again.
Yeah. yeah.
That's not the story.
No, it's not.
And that's the part I go, that God is giving us a story to remind us of the hope that we have,
yeah.
even when we're facing those things of like, man.
Well, even when we're oblivious things. To the reality of things going on, right? Like he's a long way off. And yeah. you see in Genesis 37, 18 and 20, when his brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. And as he approached, they said good things about him. No, they planned to kill him. Here comes that brother.
Yeah.
Is he your Simeon? Yeah. Is he your brother? No. Mm-hmm. You remember what he told us here? That and their intentions towards him. And that's the man, I love that God's providence and God's hand can be upon our lives that yeah. in the midst of even because I mean I grew up hearing some of those stories of like people had intentions towards this individual yeah. or somebody could have done something to this individual, but God's hand was upon that mm. person and how cool it was to hear the story of like, God saved me from that beach or, you mm. know, God saved me from that moment. God's hand was on it. And I love how God's hand is in the story that even though the intentions of the brothers,
yeah,
God's hand was on Joseph in the midst of that. So,
all right, well, let's move a little bit into the practical side of it. I think yeah. theologically we can understand, okay, mm-hmm. yeah. I need to have this perspective. I need to have these things. So you used a line of like, God's critical in this. And I'm not saying it that way, but it's like, it's
yeah.
God's righteousness will keep you from going down.
Yeah. Yeah.
That right. So then I would ask this, what is God's righteousness in these moments? Like what is the things he's wanting us to pursue when we're facing betrayal, mm. when we're facing like, man, life is hurting right now. These people even coming from like, God allowed this or whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
What should be the steps people take in this?
It's just such a great reminder that God desires from us to not just sit in that brokenness and just stay there. Mm-hmm. Because I mean, that's the danger, right? To us, and we're just like, well, guess I can't do anything about it. Guess I'm not good enough to do this. No, hold on. God gives us strength and courage and the ability, like, you know, you look at scripture again and again, have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? And sometimes that strength means forgiving someone. Sometimes that courage means having a and reconciling or whatever the case is. Like, I think I said it last night, like doing something in the right way and the right, with the right spirit, like, you know, like it, and not seeking revenge and not wanting to get back at that person, you know, those are just some of those things. I think that, you know, how do we walk out justness of God, that right living of God, that God would, you know, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. I love that we were able to mm-hmm. close with that song.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was just a great testament to reminder of who our God is and what he calls us to do.
Yeah, I think you're alluding to that. Like some of the steps would be like, make sure you're putting, in your life that reminds you of God's forgiveness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yep. God's reconciliation. Cause those are the steps you have to go
yeah.
after.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think about the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
yeah.
Forgive us our debts
yeah.
as we mm-hmm. forgive those who have sinned against us. Yep. And so you can get whatever translation, transgression, debts, whatever. Cause somebody would be like, he butchered that.
Like three translations
in one, you know, but I think that's, if that's helpful, that's a prayer yeah. that, and even where it starts, our God,
yeah,
yeah.
Lord in heaven,
yeah.
hallowed be your name. Like recognizing who he is, what he's done yeah. for us yeah. so that we can experience forgiveness. And I think it's important to separate forgiveness and reconciliation. Yeah. Forgiveness is something, because we try to put reconciliation on the table real quickly.
Yeah.
Because that's what we want.
Yeah.
And I get that.
Yep.
But we got to first work through forgiveness, which is, I'm not going to let that person's pain that they've
yeah.
caused me
yep.
yeah.
or the pain that's come from this world
yeah.
define who I am. Or take my mind and my heart.
Yeah.
And so that's a constant thing you do every day. Mm-hmm. Forgiveness is not a one-time thing. It's actually something you're doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You're working through it and going, all right, God, how can I keep forgiving them?
Yeah.
Because you know Joseph had to work on forgiving his brothers over and over and over again. Because you'd think, well, if my brothers wouldn't have been in prison, my brothers wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't be a slave. If my brothers wouldn't, he has to take those thoughts and go, God, I forgive them.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's a daily battle, because Satan will try to throw those thoughts right back into And some of it you can justify. I don't deserve this. Yeah. I don't think it should be this way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have to deal with your sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
And so you have to get to that mindset, like, God, help me to forgive them. And then reconciliation is that part. It's like you hope that you're able to navigate that and bring that relationship stronger and better.
Mm-hmm.
And you reconcile things. There's an apology. There's a, hey, we're going to work to make this better. But the reality is reconciliation is.
No.
Mm-mm.
I can show this is like God knew this because he forgave everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's reconciled things with everybody. Yeah. Not because he doesn't want to.
Yeah.
It's because humanity has chosen, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And you can't reconcile with somebody if they don't want to.
Well, and that's the hard part. Yeah. We want it right away, right? We want reconciliation, right? Mm-hmm. I forgive. So let's reconcile. Mm-hmm. Let's move on with our life.
Especially if you're the one that's hurt somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. But the beauty of like, man, I can be reminded of instances in my life where I'm like, oh man, I don't like where this relationship is at right now. And then something happens and suddenly something's different. And oh man, I didn't.
Yeah.
And you sit back. I didn't know it could be this good. And like, this is really good now. And it's great. But sometimes it takes time. It takes them being changed or me being changed or whatever the case is. I go back to something you were talking about that a verse came to my mind and that didn't make it in the message was just that we're challenged to make it obedient to Christ, right? Like we give ourselves free rein to let our thoughts go and do whatever we want. Because in those moments, if we have a down moment, we just say, I'm just going to let that go. And God's like, listen, what good is that doing you by allowing those thoughts to just have free rein right now? Like take that captive, get back to growing in an area where you're growing and not take a step back here. And how powerful that is to the intentionality with which we need to live when it comes to walking in obedience and walking those prayers out, those meditations of our heart, whatever it is that's going to get past something that maybe we need to get past.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to that forgiveness is a daily choice. I remember learning that in high school, like sitting with a small group leader, you matter. Yeah. I remember sitting with a small group leader and being like, hey, this situation happened literally like, and I thought I forgave the situation and the person. Yeah. And it was like, but it's 2 years later. And I actually feel like I'm not in forgiveness right now, but I thought I did.
Yeah.
And he kind of like pushed me to that, like, well, it's a daily thing and it takes time.
Yeah.
And so like, I think that's something that also over is like, oh, I forgave them. Boom. Okay. We're done. Next thing, but no, it's a daily thing. And so, man, I think that's such a powerful thing. Again, smaller group leaders, you matter. Cause that was a huge moment for me, in high school. Something I loved you shared too was like righteousness of God helps guard against the brokenness sin produces. And it's like, again, going back to that practicality of how do we do this? Well, one of the like first and foremost, pursue God.
Yep, yep.
And like, yeah, there's like all the things that we learn while we do that. But if we're focusing on primary thing, pursuing God, like he is our helper in all of that. He's walking with us in all of that. How often do we try to maneuver forgiveness without God?
All right. So I've got like five questions that I think are just very practical. I think somebody may come to us and ask this question surrounding this. I'd love to kind of be like quickly, like, what would you say? And I try to keep it like somewhat short so that way we can get through them.
Because
I understand can be a long conversation and all this, but I would just love to be able to, as we hit these people being like, oh yeah, I probably asked that question or I've been there, and we can kind of be like, hey, here's some of the, so one, how do I maintain perspective when facing betrayal?
Mm.
We've hit on some of it, but if you're going to sum it up for them, what would be the like top 2-3 things that you would say, hey, here's the things I would be really focused on?
Man, that is such a good question. I think way, a couple of those ways that really helped me when I face betrayal is like, I don't know where that person's at. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're at. I don't know what they're facing. And I need to show grace, and I need to start with grace and just understand that I don't know where they've come from or what's going on. The second thing is that I need to not be, I go back to that James passage I shared. I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. And I just need to pause for a second. And I need to think about what I need to say and what my response should be in that moment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a tough answer of, man, that's terrible. You know, I think we're quick to, so often we're quick to give an answer to try to make it feel better or gloss it over. But sometimes like, hey, I'm sorry, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are a couple of things that like, I don't know what the other person's facing, and I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yeah. To build off that, for me, like, remember that I'm not the only child of God.
Yeah, everybody is.
And like remembering like, man, God is mourning that this person's going through something. Yep. Not justifying whatever happened. But like for things that I do, because I know what brought me to that place and I understand it. I don't know what brought so-and-so to this place, but man, Lord, like, would your grace be with them? And that's hard to acknowledge. But I think just reminding myself that, like, again, I'm not the only child of God. People that God so desperately wants to be with. Yeah. And he weeps when they go through the things that that we want God to weep for when we go through things. And so, yeah, I think that just that reminder.
I think all that's good. And I think taking your thoughts captive would be another. I go, I want people to understand, because sometimes in Christian worlds we go, we should never be angry. Well, that's not true.
Yeah.
You're going to feel anger.
Yep.
Yeah. When you get betrayed, when you have, like, this is part of a normal emotion that God has. And he goes, you're going to have it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't let your anger be the thing that leads you to sin.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we'll get open and Satan will try to. And so it's not saying you can avoid anger.
Yeah.
It's
saying
just don't sin in your anger.
Yep.
And so that's the part that I would go, the only way you can do that is keeping that perspective, have grace and have that thought like, wait, this is a child of God.
Yeah.
Like, this person is not beneath me, not greater or less than. So, but then also you got to keep that for yourself too. Holding like, I am a child of God.
Yeah.
And you're the one that's caused the betrayal.
Yeah.
All right. So then next question, how do I forgive? I can't do it. I can't struggle. I can't get there. What would you tell me, pastors?
Swarty?
I know the easy answer is I just have to remember that I've been forgiven much. Like that to me, that is, I have to remember that in every way that I live, God has been so gracious in forgiving me and loving me when I fall short of his glory, when I fall short of what he desires for me, when I don't choose the right thing, and that I'm human, and that I have to understand that whatever that person has gone through, whatever that's where we have to start. Yeah. Okay. So forgiveness means you take steps to pressing into God. You take steps to pressing into you just can't stay there and say, well, I'm going to forgive from here. Mm. You know, like, when I do a lot of premarital counseling, like one of the phrases, you have to leave a vacancy. You've got to leave room. You've got to leave an opening for something to happen. Mm-hmm. And one, you've got to pray for that other person. You've got to pray for yourself. You know, you've got to extend a desire to get rid of the thoughts and feelings you've had towards them. It doesn't mean you have to move. You're human. You're not going to forget, but you've got to pray. You've got to think better thoughts. You've got to reorientate your mind towards the feelings you've had towards them if you're going to move in a direction of forgiving them. Yeah. Because unforgiveness only holds you back, right? It only limits anything to them. It only keeps you from moving forward and the enemy shackling you from living the life that God desires. And I mean, I've had people that I've been at odds with that, man, I never thought I could have a relationship with now. Mm. And God has blessed that. And cool. And I still have friendships now that I don't have that I wish I had, you know, but God's still doing things in their life, in my life. And I'm super grateful for that. And if we ever get to that place, awesome. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah. Being conscious of what you're meditating on. I think that's one of the big things. You know, for me, I'm one of those people, if I go through something, my brain is spinning and I'm thinking about it. And then I come to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, when I'm repetitiously thinking about something, I am processing it by myself and I have not given it to God. And so I think, again, I need practical a lot of times. And so I think it's why I dive into a lot of the practices. I like getting people moving. Yeah. People know that over at the East location. And so something that I do with my team a lot too, this is forgiveness. This is burdens. I'm like, okay, like literally hold and close your eyes and genuinely imagine whatever it is, unforgiveness, burden, like put it in your hands, open your hands and you're like, Lord, would you take this? And genuinely like imagine God taking that. Like, okay, God, you've got it. Now I'm going to meditate on things of your word. I'm going to meditate on who you are. I'm going to meditate on your grace. Again, I'm such a practical person, and that has been something that has actually helped me. It feels weird the first time you do it, but actually sitting there and putting your hand, I think it actually does something even in your brain to do that. And so,
one of the bigger things I had to learn in this area was actually learning how to forgive myself. When that was opened up, the freedom I had to forgive. The freedom I had to even like times I was frustrated with God. And I think sometimes you do it like, God, I'm frustrated. I forgive you that you allowed it to happen. And it's just a weird conversation, but it is, you're working through it because you're like, I'm mad at you. I'm hurt that you didn't do something. But because sometimes we will hold on to is like, I know God's forgiven me. But I'll never forgive myself. And I go, well, then you don't understand forgiveness. You haven't really owned it. The grace hasn't actually impacted you. You're going, I appreciate it from somebody else and I'll give it to other people. But you, there's a big, in the way. And that's you. That your willingness to forgive. Cause that's where you hold grudges. That's where you go, I would never do that to somebody else. Well, there you just made a line in the sand of where you wouldn't forgive. And because part of that you're holding is like, I struggle to forgive myself of what I've done. And I don't think God should have. So those are things when you don't forgive yourself, because Joseph had to work through this too. That's the part I'm like, we don't see it talked about in scripture, but he had to, to where he could, okay, I did that thing to my brothers. And on top of that, like working through all of the stuff that brothers show up and still holding on to that. It wouldn't have gone the way it would.
Not even close, right?
He would have probably done something to his brothers. I mean, he did mess with him a little bit, but you know.
They're still brothers.
Which I was thankful for, because that just reminds us like he was just human, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think in that's the part you're learning of like, can't forgive me. It's going to be really hard to forgive others. But we think we can.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. And I thought about it a little bit, but not to that extent as much in my message, right? The effects of our actions only multiply as the dust settles. That can go one of two ways, right? Like if the effects of our actions, man, or unforgiveness, and that's going to just multiply and make it that much harder to walk out a healthy life or healthy relationships or anything of that regard.
I always think grace has to wreck you. If it hasn't, then I don't know if you've truly walked through forgiveness. So what do I do if reconciliation is not an option? Like the person will not do it. The person's like, I don't think I did anything wrong. Like, what do you do?
That's the hardest part. The hardest part is walking away from a relationship like that and just wish them the best and be like, okay, I care about you. But the crazy part about it, both parties have to be in for reconciliation is going to happen. And that really is difficult because, you know, we, as pastors, we have a lot of conversations like that like I can't, you can't force them to reconcile. You can't force them to You just pray that God breaks them and that, or, you know, that means, but that means you got to set up boundaries and you got to be like, and then the mourning of the loss of a relationship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is so difficult, right? Like I love this. I needed this. I had this and now it's gone. And now you're like it's a death to some degree of that. And just, and yeah, that's such a difficult place to be when the other person doesn't want what you feel like could be right there so easily.
Mm-hmm. And that's a hard part to realize that that's a loving thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like brothers, he had some boundaries and that's why we say mess with them, them. But I think some of that was like, do you guys even care that you hurt me?
Yeah.
And so he's kind of processing that with them and seeing like, where are they?
Yeah.
And even the reason I think he did some of that stuff with his younger brother, Benjamin, is he like, oh, wow, look at how they're sacrifice for Benjamin.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think he begins to see like, okay,
they're authentic.
Their heart has changed.
Yeah.
And so now we're ready to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And so that's the part of like, God does that with us. He has boundaries with us that he goes, and I know that may be weird to say, he goes, if you don't want to reconcile and you don't want a relationship with me, I created a place where I didn't exist, where I don't exist. And it's not great.
Yeah.
But I think it's the same thing. Like if you got a rough relationship with your spouse, if you got a rough relationship with your kid, it's, you have to practice some of this because you have to, well, if they're not ready to reconcile, then I may have to put boundaries in place until that time has come. But we don't feel like that's love.
No.
And I would tell you, be careful with that because I think that's more of a lie from Satan using scripture to push something. Well, you got to love them.
Sometimes the most loving thing you can say is no.
Right. Yeah. But that's and I'm telling you, like, we can say this. We all can know this.
Yep.
It's a whole other thing. And you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in that because it's hard. It's like, well, when do I do this? It's timing.
Yeah, it is.
And you go, Joseph had 13 years of waiting for this and still had to learn to now right time to bring this up and share this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's holding one of his brothers in prison. Yeah. Like, you know, you're like, okay, but he's still having to like, I want to reconcile this, are we ready for this?
Yeah.
And so that's hard within friendships, within parenting, within a marriage.
Yeah.
Beautiful when it happens.
Yeah.
And we're able to get to that area.
Maintaining a soft heart, I think, is so crucial in this because also too, we don't know that like if the reconciliation isn't going to happen now, we don't know if that door is a permanent closed door. Like there might even be a 20 years from now when actually the door opens again for the reconciliation.
But we feel like it is though, right? Yeah. Like once somebody says no, we think their no was no. And we're like, we're done. It's never going to happen again.
Exactly.
And
God,
and this story is proof. Just, just maybe wait there, you know? Yeah.
Which is why I think having that soft heart is so crucial because, you know, when the door opens, we want to be ready to welcome them again, not meaning that there's no boundaries or anything like that. Like, and also you said it earlier, I think it's so important to mourn it well.
Yep.
Soft heart, and you can mourn with a soft heart and have boundaries too.
Yeah.
But I think that's so important.
It also goes back to pursuing the righteousness of God in our lives.
Like, yeah.
Are we going to be faithful to continue to follow what God has for us? And if God chooses to open that door again, are we willing to walk through it? Will we be willing? And great if it happens. Mm-hmm. So,
and I think this is where I think just ending it here, because at the end of the day, you can put in these practical things, but do you trust God to be the ultimate judge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And will you trust him when it comes to forgiveness and reconciliation? Goes back to like, yes, we got to be faithful, but some of our faithful, he's faithful first.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so scriptures I think about, this is how you practice this. Psalms 139, where it says, search me, O God, and point out anything in my heart that offends you. You're asking, have I not forgiven somebody? Am I holding back reconciliation when someone actually wants it? Mm. Like those are very challenging and those confess.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's where kind of that art of confession comes in, because if we're asking those questions and honestly letting God, he'll point out things.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And then the other part I think of is like Psalms 23, where it talks about you prepare a place before my enemies.
Yeah.
I think God sits in that and goes, okay, enemies are, that moment where you struggle to forgive, that reconciliation situation that's not happened yet, those things that you go, God, why? And he goes, okay, will you let those define them? They're right here. Yeah. Or will you let this relationship lead us?
Yeah. Well, and that's the part.
You are my child. You can do this. We can navigate. I can show you how to do this.
Yeah. That scripture, when you say that, like, this is a reminder of, like, why would God put me with my enemies? Why would he do that to me? Wait, hold on. I'm with you.
Yes.
You prepared table. We want to run. We get to enemies. We hear enemies. We're like, I don't want any part of that. And God's like, listen, if you're willing to sit in this uncomfortable, I'm with you in this. It's going to happen. You're going to show your enemies because sometimes our enemies just want to see fear out of us. They want to see that reaction. And God's like, can you confidently trust me that wherever you're at, whatever's going on in the midst, I'm with you. And
you don't have to look over your shoulder. If you run, you're constantly looking over your shoulder. Yeah. When's that going
to
catch
up? Have I given the power to them to dictate over what's going on in my life?
Versus God's going, I want you to walk through this and have confidence. Even if you're the one that caused the betrayal or you've been betrayed, you can walk through this and get to the end of it and go, I know who I am. Yeah. I'm a child of God. And we're going to walk through this with that lens. Yeah. We're going to walk through this going after. That's the spirit.
Well, and I love how, again, that psalm starts because, like, we can go through this because God is with us. Because God is with us, the psalm starts with, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing.
Yep.
It's like, there you go.
Yeah.
Like,
but it's so, but it actually can be true throughout the heartaches of life.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's where I think we really see it show up. It's like, man, that's what that scripture
is. Yeah.
I like
that's powerful.
I mean, Joseph would be like, what? He can say this line.
Yeah.
And it means, what was meant for evil, God has turned it into something good. And so that's quoted by Joseph.
Yeah.
When Joseph said that to his brothers. And that's a strong statement to make.
Yeah.
And I hope all of us can get to that point to where we're going. We've trust God so much. What was meant for evil, man, God has turned it into something so good.
Yep. Yeah. God causing everything to work for good. Our good might not be God's idea of good, but are we willing to trust his good in the midst of everything that comes our way, even if it takes longer than we want it to?
There's a good line to finish right there. Well done,
man.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, good. Thanks a lot. Good times being together.
Hey, well, I hope this podcast was helpful. And I know this is, and I would just encourage you, as you walk through, hey, how am I navigating betrayal? How am I navigating forgiveness? Just know sometimes it's worth just having somebody to talk about it with. And so if you're part of Fountain Springs Church, or even if you're not, sometimes finding a pastor to talk about this and getting a spiritual perspective is very helpful. So I'd encourage you, take that step. Having that Christian mentor who's walked through some of this and doing it, because talking about it and learning how to really apply this, because there's going to be days Satan's not going to want you to apply this, but God does. And having those people in your life who are going to go after this is healthy. That is a major step to take. So I would encourage you to take that step. If that's some of these steps you can start walking through and go after applying what God is teaching you. But thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully you'll join us next week.